Welcome to the first lockout edition of Sharing Socks. I'm Southside Sox duty geezer Lee Allen, and with me my son and West Coast correspondent Will, and behind him a big sign that says canceled. That doesn't mean us. I checked with our attorneys. We are
Yes.
allowed to talk about Major League Baseball and Major League Baseball players as long as we make no offers to anyone and money is not involved. So I think we're okay.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and break that rule right now and tell Carlos Rodon, if you come back to the White Sox, I got $40 for you. That's cash. I'll mail it. You'll have it within a week. So I broke the rules. I'm sorry.
Meanwhile, okay, so as expected, the lockout occurred. We're recording this on Thursday. The lockout occurred last night. We delayed a day in recording because we figured so much stuff would happen Wednesday. Really, very little happened Wednesday. It all happened before Wednesday, I guess, because they didn't have time to do paperwork and whatnot if an agreement came up at that point. Nothing major really happened on Wednesday.
Well, for the White Sox, every day's Wednesday
Every
then.
day is another weekend. I want to get into we need to get obviously to get to the White Sox because that's what the show is about. But the very, very little leaking out about the negotiations, except that they're nowhere. And the one thing that's come out, which I love, is the owner's proposal on playoffs. Not only do they want to go to seven teams so that we've totally cheapened the entire operation, but this thing of the seven teams, number one record in your league would get a bye. Then the winners, the other two division winners, would get to pick which of the four wild card teams they want to play in the first round. And then the other two wild card teams to play each other, and then you're down to four teams, and those are all best of three, I think, the first round maybe. And who knows? The whole idea is just to make sure everybody's in there so we can pretend there's an actual competition during the season, which there mostly isn't, unless. And I've got some ideas on that. We probably won't have time to get into that today, but ways to make people actually up the ante, up their payrolls. Whilst giving them credit for being good when they do that, like Tampa Bay, when go cheap and good, like Tampa Bay and Oakland usually do. But anyway, that's incredible. That's absolutely incredible.
Hey,
Goldberg himself would have thought, nope, that is way too convoluted to make a cartoon out of this.
I am down. I love the idea of seeing 72 win teams in the playoffs. And I know when people are watching the NBA playoffs, the number one thing they think is, couldn't this be longer? And I think this sounds like 5 or 6 months of Major League Baseball playoffs. So I'm all for it. And when I say
I guess
that,
you could, what you could do is just get rid of the season, call the whole thing a playoff.
well, I mean, the NBA is starting to dabble with a mid-season tournament to try to gain interest halfway through the season, where apparently no one's paying attention to anything because they're trying to change all these things to make us more interested. I don't know what's going on. This idea, of course, is insane. The whole one team gets a bye, the others get to pick their opponent. Now, I do love the playground kickball aspect of that, of winning your division and saying, no, we're gonna play the Mets. Like, I think it's really great. I love the idea of teams building forever hateful rivalries because of who picked who to play in the playoffs because you thought you'd have an easier chance to beat them. I can't believe this idea has even been made
And
public.
you know, if the White Sox were the number two or three team, which they probably will be, and got to pick their opponent, Hahn would screw up. He said, "Oh yeah, I forgot they've got the two best pitchers in the league."
Yeah, he would take the Yankees thinking, oh, well, if we get through them, it'll be easy in the next round. Something that doesn't really work at that level. I mean, so the crazy thing about this to me, and there's a lot of things that are ridiculous about this plan. But the strangest thing to me is that they think that that would actually increase competition. I'm not sure it would. Teams that are tanking aren't the bottom, 22 teams. It's those bottom eight, So it doesn't make any sense to me that by getting us up to 14 teams, they think those bottom eight are going to now all of a sudden not rebuild, or at the very worst, your bottom four are the teams that are just completely, shelled for a year or two. It doesn't make sense to me. They're not going to get any closer to the 14 spot than, realistically, if they had to get higher to, when the playoffs only had six teams or eight teams.
Pittsburgh is not becoming competitive.
Exactly. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. It seems like nobody thought about this outside of how do we shake it up and make it.
Well, they want as much playoffs. The owners want as much playoffs as they possibly can because that's when the big TV money comes.
But if you keep expanding the playoffs,
they're cheaper and you get no TV viewing.
Yeah. I think we could reason that. If you keep expanding the playoffs, then eventually the playoffs start to feel like the season, which is what you're trying to avoid viewership-wise. You want playoff viewers. This plan is just absurd, and the owners are so stupid. They're just, we're not going to be the first or last podcast this week to say that the owners are greedy, greedy jerks, but this is just a desperate attempt at ruining the game.
So meanwhile, the owners, of course, are trying to keep down the luxury tax level so they'll have an excuse not to go above a certain payroll. The players want to bring up the minimum salary level. As I say, I have a plan on that, but it's almost as convoluted as the playoff plan that the owners came up with. So we won't get into it because it'd take the half hour. I think I'll write it. It'll be better written. And we don't know all these other things that are going on. There's much, of course, we know service time things and arbitration rules and just all kinds of things. Apparently, they're nowhere on anything. They're as best we can tell. We can't tell much, but it seems like they're nowhere on everything. The last meeting Wednesday was 7 minutes.
Apparently,
the owners threw something on the table and walked out.
Yeah, which just tells you how, compromising of a mood they're in. It's an absolute disaster. They are so unbelievably far from an agreement. That's really all we know about it. But what we do know is that they are unbelievably far from having any sort of agreement. Now, they do have time, theoretically, to put this agreement together before spring training's to start. I'm not seeing a lot of people who think pitchers and catchers are going to report on time. Most people are thinking that that's at least doomed at this point, and so it's potentially a chunk of spring training. But it's all conjecture. Nobody really knows.
Yeah, they've got 2 months to that point, but of course they're going to. It's going to be like Congress. They're going to have a Christmas break, and they're going to have a New Year's break, and a Martin Luther King birthday break. And a midwinter break because it gets, I don't know where they meet, but it's probably cold or it's warm and they want to go swimming one way or the other.
Not looking good. And I personally think we could see some of the season lost for this. It's, the whole 7 minute thing, when that broke, that pretty much told me we are going to spend the winter in the dark at least. Because as you said, these things, this time of year, who knows when they'll even meet again. I mean, they could be now on a December 1st through 31st break, and then they start their New Year's break and all that. I have no idea, but I don't see anything being done with this stuff in 2021. I think they probably won't even seriously sit down together until 2022. Which does not bode well for getting things in working order in time to start spring training at the very
beginning. The impetus comes up once they get to spring training because then the owners lose money. Well, so do the players. Everybody loses money. So At that point, there is an impetus to get something done. Over the winter, nobody's losing anything. You know, the canceled Sox Fest. Whoa, there's a biggie.
That's it. And yeah. Like that. And even spring training, the owners will probably keep holding as much as they can. Because spring training money, of course, is nothing like regular season money. So we could see the owners just keep holding and holding and holding until the players...
Except that they know if they delay spring training more than a couple of weeks, then they've delayed the season, and that's when they start...
Yes, that is certain. I don't think you would see them hold out for all of spring training. But
and of course, if they delay 2 weeks, it's the Valentine's weekend break. So you can't negotiate then.
That's a long one because those
and President's Day Association. You got President's Day sales.
The romantic group
furniture,
mattresses, really big for President's Day. Where are these guys going to sleep? They now have to house the minor leaguers. Thank goodness that is something good that's come out of this past couple weeks. Is that Major League Baseball now has to house the minor league players, which is unbelievable.
Which raises a question. They are allowed to deal minor leaguers. In fact, even the Rule 5 draft, I think minor league is good. They can do that. They can't do anything that involves the major leaguers. I wonder if you could, to get a trade done, send your guy back to the minors if you still got a trip. They send their guy back to the minors, and you trade these two AAA guys who happen to be, you know, $20 million a year major leaguers. And you trade them at the minor league level and they stay there until after the end of the thing. Somebody will come up with that.
Somebody will. Somebody will. In fact, you just mentioning that probably just added a week onto these negotiations we're talking about because they're going to be trying to figure that
Craig,
one out.
Craig, sure. Craig Kimball, maybe as a minor leaguer, would be much more tradable than he is as an $18 million a year, or $16 million.
I would love to have Craig Kimball down in Birmingham helping these young kids get to the major league level. Where I don't want to see Craig Kimball is on our mound at Guaranteed Rate at some point.
That one amazes me. I mean, everything the White Sox have done this postseason has amazed me. That one, when they did it, you had to go, well, they had a deal. When they took his option at $16 million, which cost them $15 because otherwise it would have cost them one, you had to think they have a deal. And you expected that deal to come up in 48 hours. Nothing has happened, which means they don't have a deal. And they never probably had a deal. The one that I'm hearing now bandied about, just I think for people who want to be hopeful, is John Segura from the Phillies, which would be a nice second base grab. But exactly why the Phillies would do that is beyond me. They got a 2.7 WAR second baseman. I think I'd keep him.
Absolutely.
They just picked up a relief pitcher, a late innings relief pitcher, so their needs are less.
We will use that as our opportunity to take a break, and we'll come back and we'll talk about what the White Sox did or did not do. Spoiler alert, it's more did not do. And, you know, decide whether or not we even want to have a season next year because I'm not so sure right now.
Hey, they're still in the AAA L Central. It's not like they're playing in the major leagues.
That's true. That's a really good point. So we will tie the socks into all of this madness when we come back on Sharing Socks. Welcome back to Sharing Socks. We've discussed the issues facing the league or lack thereof a league. And now we will talk about what the White Sox did before the shutdown and what we might expect them to do after the shutdown. Before the shutdown, not a whole lot. We got Lurie back on a deal that seems like entirely too much.
Very nice for Lurie. I mean, I like Lurie. I'm glad he gets to be rich. I have no idea why anybody would pay him that much money, but sure.
It's an absurd amount of money. What is it? It's 3 years, $16 million or something like
16
that?
16 and a half. Well, somebody pointed out that's pretty reasonable money if he's going to be your starting second baseman.
True. And
not if he's just your utility guy.
Unfortunately.
And of course the Sox whiffed on every other really possible second base Yeah, I mean, Semien they weren't going to get. That just wasn't going to happen. But there were other things in the trade. The one that gets me, the one that really bugs me about the second base is Joey Wendell.
Yeah.
Marlins gave up a mid-range, I think their number 21 prospect, an outfielder who's had a couple months in AA where he did well, then went to Arizona Fall League and was totally overmatched. They gave him up to get Wendell, who's an all-star second baseman. Plus, also has a lot of versatility with Tampa Bay. Where were the Sox? Where Adolfo and Bond, I think, gets that done, and I think the Sox are a hell of a lot better off if that were the case, because Tampa Bay is always hunting for a first baseman, along with the outfielder apparently they wanted.
I'm not even sure you have to give up that much based on what the Rays got for Wendell from the Marlins. Exactly. I don't even know that you're talking about giving up a name as big as Vaughn, even on his own, let alone adding Adolfo in there. I have no clue why we weren't part of this conversation. It makes absolutely no sense. This is a quick fix. He's a solid defensive player. He plays really well on the big stage in the playoffs. I can't for the life of me figure out how the White Sox didn't do this or couldn't do this. I'm not sure which one it is. Maybe the Rays thought
they didn't even have a Bob Nightingale rumor.
Exactly. At no point did I ever read about the White Sox being in discussions for this or throwing their name in. Maybe Tampa said, hey, we're not going to deal this guy in the AL or something like that. But you would still think the White Sox would try to convince them otherwise. It really makes no sense to me. I mean, I would never be excited necessarily about getting Joey Wendell. But the fact of the matter is we don't have a major league starting second baseman. And Joey Wendell would become that very quickly.
Yeah, he's
easily.
Very good. He's very good. He's a second baseman.
Yeah.
Just this year, not 10 years ago.
And you can put him at third if Moncada's hurt, and he plays a nice third base as well.
Play right field if need be.
Comes at a very fair price and a nothing price trade-wise. It's so bizarre, and it leads me to my biggest concern, which is just that we're not going to do anything. You know, when you're giving Lurie 16.5 and you're not going for a free Joey Wendell, essentially.
And Kendall Graveman, good pitcher, good relief pitcher. It's kind of like, well, without all the all-star years before him, kind of like Kimbrel, in that he had one half of a super season. His season last year with Seattle was fantastic. Once he got traded to Houston, he was good, but he wasn't anything super. The year before with Seattle, he was terrible. The year before that, he was out because he had Tommy John. Before the Tommy John, he was a starting pitcher, and he was an okay starting pitcher, but not great. I mean, he's good, but $24 million for 3 years, good? And that's your big move is Kendall Graveman? I think maybe because he struck out some of our guys in the playoffs and got really impressed.
That has to be it. Because I get why we would try to get Kendall Graveman.
Sure.
I don't know why we would try to get him at $8 million a year. And I don't know why we would go get him with that contract and then do virtually nothing else. It's so strange. It's like they think the big signings were Leori and Graveman.
And then Han came out with his little speech yesterday about, well, it's not over, you know, December 1st isn't the end of the offseason. We'll be back after this lockout, and we'll be moving along. But as you and I were shooting the bull before we recorded, after this, after the lockout, whenever it is, the Yankees are playing again. The Dodgers are playing again. The Giants are playing again. The Red Sox are playing again. All those guys who are riding at the luxury tax will know what the luxury tax levels are, and they're certainly going to be higher than they are now because they always go up. Players want them to go up a lot. Owners want them to go up a tiny bit, but they go up. It boggles. And of course, can they get away with it? Yeah. Because they're in the Triple AL Central. Detroit has improved. The Tigers unquestionably improved with getting Erod and, well, they apparently gave up on Correa, getting Javi Baez, which is a good find, good ball player. Strangely flaky, but a good ball player. As long as he's not running the bases. He's strange on the bases.
That's a nice way to say it. Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually very concerned about Detroit at this point. And the reason is that is a young team. They are energetic. They are having fun. Remember late in the season last year, they were a very solid
team. They were better than the White Sox in the second half of the year.
Yeah. And while they can't beat Dylan Cease.
That's the thing. We pitched Cease against them 19 times. Wipe them out.
We're fine. But I'm genuinely concerned about Detroit. And I think people are sleeping on them. And it's going to be really interesting, especially if the White Sox don't find a way to sign Rodon and bring Rodon back, because we've slept on pretty much all of the starters who were going to be worth anything.
Well, I think that they believe that Keuchel is going to be a viable number five and that Kopech is going to be your three or four. And I think Kopech's going to be great, but I don't think he's going to pitch more than 100, 110 innings. I think that's very, very unrealistic.
And that's a really lovely idea if we lived in a world where no one gets hurt ever pitching in Major League Baseball. And having Dallas Keuchel as anything but a guy coming off the bench in a desperate scenario means you're in really bad shape rotation-wise for next year, especially if we don't get Rodon back. And I'm not saying – I don't necessarily
think – Oh, I don't think we're going to.
I don't know that we're out on him yet. Just because we made no other moves. And
I think all things being equal, he will go anywhere else as long as it's a contender, which everybody left to play is a contender. It's not to Kansas City or to Minnesota, but if it's the Yankees or Boston or San Francisco or Los Angeles or San Diego or Toronto decides they need somebody else. Texas suddenly a viable team.
The West.
and,
oh, my God.
Seattle's great. I just kind of pictured them at Seattle from the time this all started, but they've gotten some guys, so maybe they're not.
Yeah, they went out and got – they have the Cy Young winner. They went out and got Robbie Ray.
Yeah.
The AL West next year, I mean, you think the East is going to be good, which they are. The West is going to be incredible.
8 of the 9 best teams in the American League will be in the East and West. 1 will be in the Central.
And they might be the 9th best of those.
Yeah, and the nice thing is, if they do that convoluted playoff scheme, Sox have a great chance to be the number one winning team because they got 76 games, 19 against where they pitch Dylan against Detroit, and then 57 against these other three teams that apparently – have no intention of playing in the major leagues next year. They do anything? Minnesota, Kansas City, Cleveland, nothing. Kansas City, a couple real, real minor things.
Well, Cleveland changed their name.
Yeah.
So that was big. No, Cleveland doesn't even seem to be participating in baseball this offseason. Kansas City, I didn't expect them to do anything, but they're certainly not. And Minnesota gave Buxton the extension.
Which will make that's playing against him more fun, because he's a lot of fun to watch. Yes, he's a twin, and you don't want to root for him, but he's a lot of fun to watch.
He is. And it gives Twins fans something to go to see at the ballpark, because otherwise I think it would have been pretty bleak again for them. I have no clue what the rest of the AL Central is doing. It doesn't even seem like they're really rebuilding. Detroit is the only one that is really taking major steps forward with their young pitching staff and some of their young position players as well, and their acquisitions. I mean, they're looking really good, as I said.
I think that we'll have another team that's over 500 anyway, unlike this past season. And of course, the division will have a little harder time because we're playing the West, the NL West. It's not a lot of games, but still it's influential, although I guess we get to play the Cubs anyway, which is nice. Well, the Cubs get Stroman. They could pitch Stroman against us four times.
I mean,
really shocked by that. I thought they were just collapsing for the year. And then
I thought so, too. Well, they still are. I mean, adding Stroman isn't going to do it. So that's what makes it an even weirder addition, is they didn't buy in on Stroman and then buy in on six other guys who could make them a competitor again in a very weak division. What they did was buy in on one guy, which essentially just gives you a very expensive starter every fifth day on a losing team. I don't understand that move at all for the Cubs. But I do like Stroman. I'm glad he's going to be in Chicago, at least. I wish he was playing for us, though, on the south side.
But he won't. I mean, he made it clear he wasn't going to play for Tony La Russa.
Yeah. So
yeah, he'll
know.
Play for the Ricketts family, which is a little strange, incidentally.
I've seen that point going around, and I've made that comment many times, and nothing ever changes. So I don't even know at this point. I don't know. Do you go play for the Ricketts and potentially be on a good team, or do you go play for Reinsdorf and know that your second baseman is Lauri Garcia forever? It's a tough call at this point. But I think that's about all the time we have for today. Do you have any final thoughts?
No, it's just going to be a very long winter. It's you know, the old hot stove lake. The stove's not even hot. It's just the cold stove.
It's an ice cold stove. I think I'm not sure if we'll be back next week or the week after. I think we'll be back when there's some information out there. But as of right now, it's looking like it's going to be quiet for a minute. So all I will say is we will see you at some point in the near future or nearish future. And until then.
And if we don't, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. It's Hanukkah now. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. have a great Memorial Day weekend. And we'll see you when the season starts after the 4th of July. Thanks for listening on Sharing Socks.